Should I do Guess Who's Back?
Go on. Yeah, go on, do it.
Absolutely not. I'm not. Hello and welcome back to another episode of FPL by Dummies. And welcome back to me. My name's Cam and I've been on paternity leave from FPL by Dummies for the past 3 weeks. And this is with me,
Tom, who hasn't been on paternity leave and has kept trying to do this podcast, but being let down by... It's almost like you have like proper things to do.
Well, it's either technical problems or people being in Germany / on paternity leave. So Tom has been trying to keep this sinking ship afloat.
I'm honest, I've not been trying very hard.
Been waving the white flag as it goes down. Something out of Tom and Jerry. But yeah, we're back. Hopefully we don't have any technical issues this week and we can talk about what has been game week, or double game week 29 thus far. How's it been for you?
Not bad, mate. Actually very good. First question, what was what's better? Your game week 29 or having a child?
Just having a child.
Really? Okay. Yeah, that's fair enough.
Just
fair. I thought it'd be close.
And that's only because Arsenal had a clean sheet wipeout.
Oh, okay, so if they managed to
Dan Ward dropped for no reason. And Ben Chilwell had a goal disallowed.
Oh, that was funny, actually.
So quite a few things.
Yeah, if they all went well, then maybe yeah. FPL game week 29. So far, so good. 68 points on the bench boost. No hits taken for moi. The only thing that has let me down so far, I'd say, is the Rashford captaincy. Other than that, been pretty tasty start to the week. I've had a good old gain. And it's all looking pretty rosy for Tom. Yourself?
Yeah, not terrible. Apart from the things I just mentioned. Yeah. The two differentials, one I'm really proud of because sometimes I come up with some road picks, don't I, Tom? And then complain when they don't go well. But Brennan Johnson has been one that I spied from a while ago, wanted to own him, then have brought him in and he's actually delivered. So yeah, his goal, I think he was like 0.4% EO for me. So that was massive. And Salah was somehow a differential. So even though we were shit against City, his goal was a nice boost. And hopefully, I mean, obviously Chelsea just sacked the manager. So we're going to have the new manager bounced against us. And Salah's going to go missing. But hopefully he can pick up where he left off. But yeah, Tony with his customary goal and maximum bonus was nice, and then Trippier wasn't much of, well, I think he was just under 100% EO for me, so I was able to enjoy his points, but sadly I didn't double on the Newcastle defense, so I've lost out a bit there because I think quite a lot of people had basically Botman as their other Newcastle defender. So Martinelli's assist came in clutch, but Saka being ill was slightly annoying, and then as I said, the clean sheet wipeout for Gabriel was a bit of a kick in the ghoulies. But yeah, I'm sat on a green and I mean, I've said this before, so it's definitely not going to happen now, but I think I can only get a green from here. Which I'm pretty sure last time I said that, I ended up on 100k red. Do you remember? Is that double game week that Arsenal had?
You're like, oh, definitely.
Well, I've got three Arsenal players. There's no way this can't go well for me.
And none of them returned, did they?
No, Saka returned, but somehow, I think it was like Odegaard and something else. Someone else returned, which meant that... I think Brighton also played in that double, and I didn't own some of the players, and yeah, it all just went Pete Tong. So, yep, tune in next week for me to cry about how I went from a 20k green to a 200k red in the space of 3 days, but there you are.
I feel like, yeah, I'm looking... I'm feeling positive for you, mate.
Well, I've got Kane still to play tonight, which I'm reasonably optimistic of, even if Spurs bottle winning, that he'll score. And I'm just trying to check his EO for myself.
75-ish%.
Yeah, I'll take your word for it.
Mine's about 75%, so I shouldn't be similar.
Yeah, 71.6. And then, as I say, yeah, still got Brennan Johnson to play Leeds away.
That could be really good, to be fair.
I think so, yeah. And as I said already, I think Salah has decent chances of returns against Chelsea. Everyone else is reasonably template, like quite a lot of people own them. And unfortunately, as I said, I've got three Arsenal who've all had just a single game week, so that's slightly frustrating. But and even if Danny Ward does come back into the squad now, Rodgers is gone, Watkins is probably going to score, so that's not going to be too great.
That's fine. You could be like David Raya and concede three goals and still manage to get 6 points.
Well, here's the hoping. Because, I mean, he has made some good, like, when I say good saves, I mean, good number of saves, Danny Ward, this year. So, not rule it out.
Probably not, though.
Probably not.
Anyway, should we start with your beloved Liverpool and their absolute humbling at Man City?
Well, I was going to say we can get onto that. But should we talk about managerial dismissals, given that we just mentioned Danny Ward? I'm not sure too many people were surprised by them. Were you?
No. Oh, no. Rodgers won, definitely not. Potter won. I thought they might stick him out a little bit longer, but I'm not surprised he's gone.
I mean, the results, and like for the first time dropping into the second half of the table, bottom half rather, yeah, you would expect. But as you say, 20-odd. Was it? They got a squad of like 30-odd or something like that?
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Like, it's one of those things where I hadn't properly, you know, whenever people talk about that, I just kind of thought, oh, you know, that's a lot of players to keep happy and stuff. But something as simple as putting on a training session is impossible with like 30-odd people.
Yeah.
And I just hadn't really like deeped that part of it. Like, you forget that. I think it's just because professional football, I don't know, in my head just seems quite far removed from, you know, when we were kids playing football and, like, you know, you go to a training session and stuff. Like, that is what they do on a daily basis, and trying to coordinate, even when they're adults and professionals, 30-odd people in a training session must be absolute, not necessarily carnage, but just impossible to do. To have everyone involved and playing, like, a key role, that's just got to be ridiculously hard. So, yeah, I thought that he might get some more time on the basis of that, able to ship some people out in summer and just, yeah, work with them a bit longer, but clearly another loss at home was the straw that broke the camel's back. But
yeah, I think they've seen Nagelsmann sniffing around as well, and it's just
true. Yeah,
I think it's like, okay, if we get rid of him now, then we can beat Tottenham to him, get him in. But I mean, they spent £500 million this year on players. I think it's over, actually. I think it's actually over that, but it's just stupid amounts of money.
Part of me does wonder, though, because on Saturday, or was it Sunday, against Villa, they had something stupid like 20 or more shots. Villa had 5 and won 2-0. Now, I know Cucurella was an absolute donut for the first goal.
Yeah.
But I don't know what changing manager does for, unless, you know, they literally just do more shooting drills. But they had 20 efforts on goal, not all of them on target, but 20 efforts on goal, and didn't manage to convert one. To me, that suggests that the team is playing well. They've just had 2 defensive lapses and they can't put the ball in the back of net. And to a certain extent, how is that Potter's fault if they're getting the chances and getting in front of goal? So I do feel for them a little bit, but
yeah, no, I don't know, to be honest. I sort of agree with you, because I'm sort of like, well, what more can he do? But then it's like, what more can he do with a team worth, what, close to £1 billion worth of players? Like, surely he's got to be able to get a song out of at least 11 of them. Like, that's all he needs to do. Like, do you know what I mean?
It's just
like,
players, you should get players, a third of them to play well.
It's like when you, yeah, it's like what you said, you go to the, when you go to like a training session on like a Sunday afternoon for like when you used to be younger, and like 40 odd players would turn up, and by the end of like the second week, 10 of them, 15 of them would have left, and then you'd still be left with like some decent players. So yeah, I don't know. I do feel sorry for him, but I feel like, I think by the sounds of it, he just wasn't respected by the players. And then when you think of it like that, that's a him problem. Like, people can say, oh, it's a Chelsea problem, but at the end of the day, he's the manager and he should be able to demand the respect of players. So it's a hard one, really.
That is a big problemo, and that's what she said.
Hey.
But yeah, Rodgers, I know that the bottom half of the table is so ridiculously tight this year, but I was shocked when I looked today, 19th. And like, that does kind of make sense in terms of his sacking, but I don't really know how they've ended up in that situation.
Yeah, and they also lost to a team which, up until the Arsenal game, hadn't had a shot on target for six games or something stupid. Yeah, it was like a crazy amount of time.
I did tell you that it was going to be the new, like, I did. That's why I didn't want to really own any Leicester players, is that I just knew that Hodgson was going to come in and shore it up.
Yeah, but now I've got James Maddison on the new manager bounce.
Who have they got in the second game?
Bournemouth.
Yeah, I managed to get through that first game unscathed, but I don't think I'm going to be so lucky in the second one.
No, but no, I think it makes sense. Although I've now heard that Rodgers is linked with Tottenham.
Yeah, I saw that. And also Benitez with Leicester.
Yeah, which literally makes sense. Surely, as the Leicester City owner, you just go to Graham Potter straight away and you get him in.
Yeah, I mean, that probably makes sense. Yeah, I just don't see Tottenham getting Nagelsmann.
I think Chelsea will get him now.
Well, yeah, especially with, yeah. But yeah, anyway, it was three managers in a week: Conte, Rodgers.
Oh yeah, and, Conte for God's yeah. Oh, it's been a nuts week. Who do you think? Wait, I'll quickly. Should we have a quick look while I've got it up? Should I just see who the current like managers?
Well, did you see Klopp's press conference today, where he was like, "I'm the last man standing. You all probably expect me to be gone."
Oh no, I didn't see that.
Yeah, he was basically saying that, you know, based on results, that he probably should be sacked. But he was like, you know, we're here to work and turn it around.
Yeah, I think he said cliche for him. Oh, I think I did see like he said like, "Oh, it's based on my history rather than anything else."
Maybe I didn't see that.
Nagelsmann is odds on favourite to be Chelsea manager, or Bruno, or the current like interim manager Bruno Solskjaer, just be giving it till the end of the season by the looks of it. Leicester currently Potter is favourite, Benitez second. Give it Giggs at the end of the season. Yeah, Potter's favourite to take the Leicester job as well. So it all makes sense at the moment.
It's kind of like Wilf Zaha going to United to then go back down to his level.
Yeah.
Potter made the step up from Brighton and now he's gone back to...
He dropped even further down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, yes. Yeah. Liverpool's humbling. Yeah.
I know you're trying to avoid it as long as possible.
I brought it up again. yeah, not much to be said, really. We watched it together. We were good in the first half, shit in the second half. And I mean, even the defending for City's goal towards the end of the first half was just diabolical. We were talking about it in the pub watching it. I just really can't put my finger on, well, I can, but it means Klopp leaving, or at the very least Klopp bringing in new coaches, because when you look at the personnel that we've got in defence, and I know that it's a slightly bigger issue in midfield as well, but you look at the personnel in defence, I'm not sure you would swap them for many other players or want many other players in the world over them. But for some reason at the minute, they just cannot defend it, and there's a massive gaping hole in the middle of our defence. Van Dijk kept on stepping up, and they're just... I think Klopp was matching Guardiola's formation, certainly in possession, with Trent being really pushed up high and then Konate, Van Dijk and Robbo forming a back three, basically. But we were just so open, and City literally were just walking through us. So, yeah, we definitely need some leggy midfielders to cover that and prevent teams just getting straight through onto our defence. But at the same time, we definitely need some defensive coaching because, you know, Trent and Robbo could have cut out two of the crosses for two of those goals, and they just didn't. So, yeah, City were by far the better team in the second half and deserved their win. I think Klopp said it in his post-match interview that they... we were just lucky that they weren't greedy and didn't go for more goals, because it could honestly have been like the United game that we had a few weeks ago, where it ended up in 6-7-8, because, yeah, they just seemed happy to keep the ball at the end. But not the best Saturday afternoon.
I enjoyed it.
I did too. I enjoyed the golf beforehand, not so much. Yeah,
the golf before was good, and the food was okay. It's just the having to sit and watch the football was the bad bit, wasn't it? So... Yeah, it was just, I don't think I need to really say much more than that about that game, because I don't want to make you cry. So I'll move on to Arsenal Leeds.
Too late.
Arsenal have once again conceded at home. I don't understand what it is, but whenever they play at home, it just seems to be the fact that they like to concede.
It's such a shit goal to concede as well.
It was like just like yeah, just all over the place.
Going
wasn't
straight
it?
At Ramsdown, deflected into the far corner.
Like. Was it off Zinchenko or Odegaard? Yeah. Zinchenko, yeah. Yeah, I just don't really. I don't understand. Like, they just, yeah. From the fact I don't own any Arsenal defenders, I was obviously really happy about it. And I sold Saka this week, so that for me, I mean, it was the perfect outcome. The fact that it was like Jesus scoring the goals, really. Obviously, people saw him Ben White, and he got on the score sheet as well, so that was less so. And obviously, not many people saw the Saka news coming. It was pretty late. I think right before the deadline, they managed to announce something. But yeah, Arsenal just looked. Now Jesus is back as well. They just look again. It's just like another step up again from where they are.
Is the title going to the Emirates?
I think it comes down to the Arsenal-Man City game. And if Arsenal can get anything from that game, I think they win the title.
And there you have it, people. Tom has spoken.
I have. And I am the oracle of all knowledge when it comes to Premier League football. That's why I'm obviously doing so well in FPL.
That's why we have this podcast.
Pretty much, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, Arsenal being Arsenal. Just doing what they do at the moment. They just look so good.
Yeah. Free-flowing, full of confidence. They kind of remind me of Liverpool of a few years ago, where they're just like, what?
Just funny. You just sounded so depressed when you said that.
We used to be good.
Liz reminded me of what we used to be.
Living vicariously through Arsenal fans.
No, let's not. I hope City wouldn't. Come on, City. So Wanky scored as well. Bournemouth 2, Fulham Wang.
So funny. So me and Tom so went to play golf on the morning of Saturday. And he was like, yeah, I've seen loads of people on Twitter bringing in Solanke. What a stupid pick. And I was like, yeah, he's not scored since game week 15. And then have you actually seen the goal that he did score?
No, I haven't actually. No, I haven't. Was it good?
It was shit.
No, for fuck's sake. That makes it even more annoying.
There was like, I think Christie had a shot which got parried and he like followed it in, but there was like two defenders who tried to clear it and I think they kicked it in off Solanke. He just happened to be in there.
So I saw the Marcus Tavernier goal and that was absolutely screaming.
Yeah.
But it's like,
So Tom had that egg on his face.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason he's known as Solanke. So, because he's shit. I mean, yeah, as Cam said, he hasn't scored since game week 15. He was bought in by quite a lot of people this weekend, it seems, and I just couldn't really understand it. And
well, now you know.
Because he can stand in the right place and let a ball rebound off of him.
They all count.
They do all count. Fulham have deteriorated recently, and I'm not going to lie, I'm all for it. I fucking love it. But
because they're not the biggest club in West London.
Yeah, I think they've lost four in a row. So lost to Brentford, hold that. Lost to Arsenal, FA Cup as well. They lost the last three games in the Prem. Drew to Wolves, and then they beat Brighton before that. But yeah, lost to Bournemouth. Obviously, and I mean, they're missing players obviously this week because obviously no Mitrovic, no Willian. They're still. And who else didn't play?
Marco Silva.
Love it. Yeah, but Joao Pelini is back as well. So yeah, no, I think it's just Willian and Mitro they were missing. But yeah, so don't really know what's happened to Fulham. They've just sort of fallen off a little bit towards the end of the season.
On to probably the best game of the game week, Brighton-Brentford. The battle of the seagulls and the bees.
Yeah. What's your battle take? Battle of the old arch enemies of the poker days, Tony Bloom and Matthew Benham, the two owners of Brentford and Brighton and Brentford, respectively, do have a bit of beef, a bit of history. So, yeah. I mean, to be fair, I will happily take a point against Brighton. It's a bit frustrating that we went up 1-0, then 2-1, then 3-2, but all intents and purposes, Brighton were much better than us throughout the game. Raya
made 11 saves, didn't he?
Raya made 11 saves. And do you want to hear the most stupid stat I saw it on Twitter. I'm going to go with it's true because I saw it from a Brighton Twitter page, actually. I will just quickly find the full stat. A ridiculous game. Obviously, unlucky for you because you owned the only Brentford centre-back not to score in that game, with Pontus Jansson and Ethan Pinnock both scoring.
I've not even thought about it.
Yeah.
Classic.
Of course. Classic Cam. Of course, he owns the wrong one. But yeah, so I believe the Brighton outfield players, every single outfield player had at least two shots on target in that game.
That's ridiculous, including defenders.
I think so. I'm trying to find the stats, trying to get up as quick as possible. But yeah, I'm struggling.
Well, I mean, of all the midfielders that everyone would have owned, all of them returned in some way. March got an assist. McAllister, Penn, and Mitoma scoring the first. Jason Steele joins the club of keepers with an assist for Matoma's goal. So even though he conceded three, he got a return.
Yeah, I think it was two shots, not particularly on target. I think it was shots. Okay. But anyway, still.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was each player had two shots. That was it, a minimum. Yeah, they were just like, Brighton did look very good, as was expected. To be honest, I didn't expect us to win at Brighton. So the fact we went 1-0, the fact we went ahead three times, I was pretty impressed with. Steele didn't look that great, to be honest. But they were good. I mean, good goals that we scored against them. We just defensively didn't look very good, to be honest. That's the rub in the green of it. Luckily, we had to have a rare goal. Otherwise, it could have been, as Cam said, 15-3. Yeah, 14. I mean, David Rea picked up 6 points in a game which conceded three goals is just a joke.
And he's still got a game to go.
Yeah, I mean, well, I thought about it as well. Obviously, the 90th minute penalty that McAllister scored. If David Rea saved that, how many points would he have had? 5 points for a penalty save?
Probably 11.
Oh, probably would have got.
Did he get two bonus in the end?
He got two bonus. So he would have definitely got three bonus. So you're looking at another 6 points out. So he would have probably finished on 12 points, which would have been, well, at the moment, with Trippier, the highest scoring player of the game. Oh, no, sorry.
Well, he's been more than Martinez. He's the highest scoring goalkeeper so far.
Yeah. So, yeah, ridiculous game. Luckily for me, I owned Mr. Ivan Toney, who didn't get a yellow card, so he is still eligible to play against Man United. And obviously, yeah, Ray got a stupid amount of points. Obviously, if you owned a Brighton midfielder, it didn't really matter which one you owned because they all scored points. McAllister, Mitoma and March all getting points.
But it did matter if you owned two of them, whereas I only owned one.
Yes, like myself. And it did matter if you did own Evan Ferguson because obviously he didn't play and wasn't even on the bench. So I don't know what's wrong with Evan Ferguson. I didn't actually see...
But you don't need Evan Ferguson when you got that guy Welps.
That guy Welps, who scored again. So yeah, frustrating game from my point of view. But well deserved. Quick thing, that because you've owned him for quite a long time this season, and he has been solidly sitting under the radar, Mathias Jensen. He has. No. So you owned him for ages, yeah?
No, I've owned him for like
2 weeks. Yeah, but he scored points in those 3 weeks, hasn't he?
Yeah.
So Mathias Jensen in 2023 has more points than Erling Haaland and Mo Salah.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, in 23. Sorry, I thought you meant the whole season. I was like...
No, in 2023. No, he has to get two more points against Wednesday, and then he'll have more points than Haaland in 2023. And I believe he already has more points than Salah in 2023.
Yeah, I mean... Again, another pick that I just kind of... I noticed that he had been playing well and just kind of... Weirdly, just picking up points, if you know what I mean. So yeah, I brought him in. Let's just have a look now. I think it was for 27 because of the double. Oh God, what the hell is going on? Yeah, he got an assist this week. Scored in 28. I don't think he did anything in 27.
Maybe he had the double. I think, didn't he? So he still got 5 points.
But yeah, he just weirdly somehow manages to pop up with a goal. I think he arrives quite late in the box often and is also able to kind of get his head on set pieces. He got a goal and assist against United early in the season. Didn't really return for a while, but since the World Cup, he's been reasonably productive. And yeah, he's only like 4.8 and he plays every game. He quite often gets subbed, but he plays every game. So Yeah, he's a tidy little player.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is obviously the midfield's a bit scrambled at the moment. Yeah. Everyone's got the same midfield, but
I think I only brought him in because I wanted an extra Brentford player for the double-double that they had. And I moved him on this week because I had to get Matoma back in, which was the right play thus far because Matoma scored and Jensen only got an assist. But we'll wait and see how the second half of the double game goes because that could get flipped on its head. But yeah, Jensen's a tidy little player.
Mm. Crystal Palace beat Leicester and obviously spelled the end for Brendan Rodgers. Hilarious if you did own Danny Ward because Iverson scored an own goal.
Yeah.
Still one more point than Danny Ward, but still hilarious. Yeah, Leicester just ain't it at the moment, are they?
No. But yeah, still second half of the game week to go for them, and I'm pretty scared of James Maddison because although they're playing Villa and they're not, and Leicester aren't in the best of form, they could lose that game and Maddison still score assists. So I am going to be hiding behind the sofa while that game's being played.
Mm.
But
Wolves go on.
Well, just I've already shouted out my boy Brennan Johnson, but yeah, he got Wolves. The equaliser. Well, not equaliser. He scored first, and then Wolves equalised. But
yeah, interesting one of that because Daniel Podence appeared to spit at Brennan Johnson as well towards the end of that game.
Yeah, that was weird. It didn't. It looked kind of like he did. So then I was like, well, why? If it looks like it and VAR have seen it, have they not done anything about it? But
yeah, I'm interested to know if like the FA will have a look at that because sure, you'd imagine if. You know, it will be. I think the FA are looking into it, but
okay.
It's a bit of a weird one, really. Because, I mean, if he does get caught doing that, then obviously that's a good old ban for Daniel Podence. So,
yep. Chelsea was shit.
They were. Big John McGinn scored an absolute beauty.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't expect anything less, would you?
It was a really good goal, wasn't it? So, yeah, I think there was an entertaining quote. From good old, where is he? Good old Potter, just before he got sacked, managed to leave us with a gorgeous, absolute gem. If you look at the XG of Begin's goal, it's not a big chance. So, cross that goal off because it didn't count, obviously.
Yeah, similar to that Neves one against Liverpool.
Exactly, yeah. It was very, very similar vibe. So, yeah, obviously Mr. Potter is now gone. He clearly is not a wizard.
I seem to have picked the wrong goalkeepers for this double game week because I picked Danny Ward, who is now out of favour, and I picked Kepa, who conceded two goals against Villa at home and now has Liverpool to play. So
conceded two goals at home and didn't manage to make one save somehow.
Yep. Well, that's because Villa didn't have any shots apart from the two that they scored.
Yeah, just and really
everyone
bizarre.
Else has Steele, Raya, or Martinez apparently. So.
Now, do you want to say what you said about West Ham, or do you want to not bother?
What about Agüero?
Yeah.
So again, classic me. I'm just going to complain about something that's totally inane. But I was looking to move Gabriel out for a hit this week just to get another doubler in. But there wasn't really any kind of similar priced, you know, 5 million-ish defenders that looked appetizing at all. So I was just scrolling through the defender list and then was like, oh, West Ham have a decent double. But all of their defenders seem to be rotated. And Agüero was the only one who seemed to be reasonably kind of consistently selected, but he was flagged. So I was like, oh no. And he's 4.4. I want a 5 million defender. So I left it and he got 15 points and has one more game to go.
Yeah. Classic. I love
it. Two thumbs up.
Yeah, I mean, no one really cares about the game, so let's just move on to Newcastle, yeah. Man United, where Man United completely capitulated, and Newcastle just looks so good.
Well,
honestly,
everyone was saying that it was, you know, United not playing well. I think Luke Shaw said in his post-match interview that they didn't get beaten on quality, but
they did.
I think they did. They got beaten on quality and passion and heart, like
quality all throughout the pitch as well. It wasn't even in one position. So
both of their goals were really good, and they just genuinely. Kept the ball better, attacked, looked more threatening on the attack. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, only saving grace for United was David De Gea was very good, to be honest. Frustratingly good as a Alexander Isak owner. St. Max, obviously, was... I thought St. Max just absolutely tore them apart as well down the left-hand side.
He's back on it, isn't he?
He is back on it. And obviously, Willock could have scored, like, four. he missed a few sitters as well. So that's obviously all the games so far this week. Everton, Spurs this evening, followed by all the rest of the double game weeks to go. How many players have you got left to play?
That is a good question. I have Harry Kane. So Kane, Tony, Johnson, Mitoma, Rashford, Salah, Chilwell, pretty much everyone. So 11, basically. And maybe 12 if Danny Ward
plays. Yeah, and obviously you saw Rashford captain.
Yeah.
I have all 15, because obviously Harry Kane plays tonight. So all 15 and Rashford captain. So delicious.
Yeah.
Hopefully Harry Kane scores 4.
I just need some of my differential players to come in, because I've covered off quite a lot of, apart from Watkins, I've covered off quite a lot of the major threats, but it just means that I kind of can't really enjoy their returns. And lots of people have kind of captained, for example, Mitoma. So I'm like, well, I do want him to score, but at the same time, I don't have him captained. So it's a little bit painful if Rashford doesn't do anything. But then I've got Ben Mee in defence. So yeah, I'm just screwed, basically.
Yeah, once again, captaincy let me down too at the moment. So, and I don't really want Rashford to score against Brentford. So,
yes, I did have the armband briefly on Tony, but I was like, no, Rashford is in form.
Yes.
Ah well. Right, Snogmire Void.
Yes, sir.
So Snogmire Void is the segment of the pod where we recommend someone for the short term as our snog, someone long term as a marry, and then we recommend someone to avoid. It's normally based off the transfers in for that week, so it's a little bit kind of skewed for that reason, but we sometimes do pick our own players out of left field. But yeah, do you want to crack on with your snog for this week?
I will, and I will be starting left field because I am going to go
left
of the midfield. Jack Grealish has been pretty phenomenal since he's come back from the World Cup. Looked really, really good. Been playing. I mean, he has played every single game since the World Cup. I think the only game where he didn't start was against Chelsea. Since the World Cup, he has picked up 5 assists, 6 assists even, and 3 goals. And just looks a little bit more like the £100 million player that they bought a couple of years ago. So I thought was playing really, really well. Looks really good. Just looks a bit more comfortable and confident this year, which is the first time since you know, in a while that we've seen that. Has Southampton up next, which is obviously a great fixture. And then Leicester following up in 31. Obviously blanks in 32, as do a few of the teams. And yeah, with Foden out at the moment, obviously with, I think he's got appendicitis or something. He's had his appendix out. So people have been saying people have said that he's going to be out for maybe 3 weeks. I mean, he's had his appendix out. Sure, he's going to be out for longer than that.
I have no idea. I don't know how long that takes.
I mean, it's keyhole surgery, but still, I mean, he's going to have his appendix out, and then he's going to have to recover from the surgery, and then he's going to have to come back. So, I mean, he's not going to have any damage like muscle tears and stuff because it's keyhole, but still. It's still going to be recovery from it. It's not going to be like an easy comeback.
No, but also, even when he does come back, I think Grealish has still been playing when Foden was playing, wasn't he? Foden was playing right side and Mahrez was the one being dropped. So,
yeah, so I am tempted. I am tempted to... So, obviously, Haaland is the obvious one this week with a lot of people not owning him, or if they did own him, just benched him last week. And it does seem a bit stupid, but I'm tempted to take the -4, get Haaland in, and maybe get Jack Grealish in for like, James Maddison has Bournemouth at home, and it's just one of those where I'm like, I want to jump on it early and just go for it because it's fun. Like I did with the Isaac last week, it's like a fun pick, and I know I'd enjoy it. And I know what his ownership is going to be so stupidly low. He's currently owned
actually be able to enjoy his points returns for once.
He's owned by 2.3% of people at the moment, so it's just, I think it'll be really a really fun one to own. So very tempted for Mr. Jack Grealish.
Yeah, annoyingly he was very good against us and has been for the past few weeks, so don't hate it. And as you say, Pep seems to trust him at the minute, so mine isn't particularly kind of insightful, but I'm going to go for Isak. As Tom said, he's owned him for the past few weeks and has been able to enjoy his returns. 3 goals since game week 27, which is when he's kind of been able to... Actually, no, he did have a few starts before that, but obviously he's been recovering from injury recently and seems to have secured that starting striker role. We'll wait and see if Wilson's goal against United kind of earns him his place back. But yeah, Isak has been starting, has had really good involvement, has passed the eye test, but also, you know, it matches up in his stats. He's had good levels of XG, had a point blank header saved by De Gea this weekend, but also had an X assist of 0.29. So combined X goal involvement of about 0.7. So pretty good, looking threatening. Obviously had the two goals against Forest, and they have decent fixtures coming up. Teams, you know, not easy, but Newcastle seem to have kind of rediscovered some form of late and are picking up points and scoring goals. So, yeah, they have West Ham, Brentford and Villa next. But I think Isak definitely has potential to score in those. And if we're looking slightly further ahead as well, he plays in 32 against Spurs at home, which definitely has potential for points. So, yeah, he's a cheap-ish striker. What's he, 6? Was he 7-something? He is 6.7. So slightly cheaper than Watkins, definitely cheaper than Tony. Tony, Tom has been saying beforehand, is on 9 yellows and has to make it till about game week 34, did you say it was, before the clean sheets, yellow cards get wiped?
32.
So he's still got a few games to get through. And he seems to, I mean, you can tell by the fact he's picked up 9 yellows, but he quite often picks up a yellow. So I think that's quite a tough ask to get through those weeks. So yeah, I think Isak is a good shout. Yeah, that's my snog.
And as you know, I agree with you because Alexander Isak is a sexy man who scores lots of great goals. Yeah, he just looks so good. I'm really enjoying watching him play. Even if he obviously didn't return against United yesterday. De Gea obviously had a great shot from him, from a good header. And generally, he just got very involved in the game. So very much enjoying watching him play, very much enjoying owning him. And it's making me enjoy watching Newcastle a bit more at the moment. So
yes. I'm going to carry on with my Mary, if you don't mind, just because it's in the same vein. So if you're not a maverick like me and you don't own Brennan Johnson, then you, as your third striker option, should probably have Ollie Watkins alongside Isak and Haaland. Watkins has 6 goals in his past 8 away games. And I saw a tally. I think he's got like 5 goals against Liverpool, a couple against City, 3 or 4 against Chelsea. Basically, he scores against all the big teams. And in Villa's next few fixtures, they play not the biggest of teams, but going forwards, their run isn't the best. They have Leicester, Forest, Newcastle, Brentford, Fulham, United, all the way until 34. And then even 36, 37 and 38, they play Spurs, Liverpool, Brighton until the end of the season. So, you know, not a walk in the park. Obviously, some definitely winnable games and games that you'd expect Watkins to score in there. But basically to say that even though he has some tough fixtures coming up, I would still back him to score because his record shows that he scores in big games against big teams. And yeah, he's on a hot streak at the minute. A goal against Chelsea, assist against Bournemouth, goal against West Ham, blanked, and then goals against Everton and Arsenal and City going back to game week 23. So yeah, Watkins is in form, 7.5 mil, 16% owned, so a reasonable differential. Yeah, it's basically not that surprising of a shout, but if you haven't already considered it, like myself, then I would say Ollie Watkins should be in your team.
Yes, I did consider him this week for Harry Kane on a -4, but I decided against it last minute. So hopefully Harry Kane scores 4 goals this evening, otherwise that's going to be a little bit of pain for Tom.
Yeah, I'm watching Watkins through my fingers behind the sofa for the game week because a goal and bonus points already is painful.
It is. On the same vein, my Mario this week is going to be Tyrone Mings. So on the other side of the old Aston Villa team. Obviously you mentioned Villa's form recently. Aston Villa have, I believe it's the 3rd or 4th best form since Emery took over in the league.
Yeah, it's the 3rd. Only City and Arsenal have won more games than Villa.
Crazy. they've been really good, scoring lots of goals. Tyrone Mings, as I previously tweeted earlier in the week, has been what can only be described as an absolute pleasure to own in the last few weeks.
You're such a smarmy bastard sometimes.
Absolute pleasure.
Pleasure doing business with you, Tyrone.
Honestly, absolute pleasure. 4.3 million. Really, the nice thing about Tyrone Mings at the moment is he's really easy to bench as well. So when they've got the harder fixtures coming up, you can put him on the bench. 4.3 million. It's not going to burn a hole in your pocket. Obviously, you've got 8 points against Chelsea because he picked up two bonus points as well somehow. Obviously got the assist against Bournemouth and a clean sheet. Could have been a goal as well, which was cleared off the line. Again, 12-pointer. 2 points against West Ham, which wasn't so good. But again, an 8-pointer against Palace and a 7-pointer against Everton. He is picking up bonus points left, right and centre as well recently. So especially in the last five games, they've kept four clean sheets. So they've been just constantly doing really well. Before the games before that, they had lost three in a row. So it's to be taken with a pinch of salt and it's to be looked at. But for 4.3 million, if people still have wild cards available, which I know a few people do, if people don't have any, you know, burning desires to get anyone else in, or people need extra money to drop someone like, I don't know, your £5 million defender or a player that you just don't need in the team anymore, I think it's just a really good player to own to the end of the season. And they've got the good fixtures in there where you can just pick and choose when you play him. So my pick, although slightly boring, is Tyrone Mings this week.
Yeah, he's been an absolute displeasure to not own for the past few while he's been picking up points. But no, fair play to yous who have brought him in. My avoid this week is Julian Alvarez, an unbelievable player, Argentina starting striker, but he is kept out of the side by Erling Haaland when fit. So although he scored a goal this week against Liverpool and an assist, Haaland is very likely to be back fit for Southampton away next week. So, and quite often he doesn't play Alvarez in one of the wide positions or even in behind Haaland. So if he does play, he's going to be as a cameo off the bench, which obviously, you know, a really nice fixture for City against Southampton. There's a potential for him to score if he does come on, but I just think how many people have brought him in so far this week? I mean, he's the fourth most brought in City player by 11,000 people so far, and it's been 2 days since the deadline not the new deadline started, if you get what I mean. So I just think, you know, for 6 million, you could own Isak for 0.7 more, reasonably guaranteed to start, and it basically just takes up, you know, one of the precious three striker spots that you've got. So basically, I just think there's other players that you would want to own, as I've just mentioned, Watkins and Isak, and even Tony, if you're going to brave out his potential to get banned. And then, yeah, there's the obvious ones of Haaland and Kane. So I just think Alvarez gets edged out. He's a nice differential pick, obviously, but I just think he's not going to get enough minutes to make it worthwhile. So he is my avoid.
Yes. It's so frustrating because I feel like he would get into any start, pretty much any starting lineup that, you know, isn't Man City.
He starts alongside Messi.
Yeah, yes, exactly, absolutely. He's a ridiculously good-looking footballer. So,
and good at playing the game.
Oi, oi. That's two strikers I've made passes at tonight. This is a bit strange, isn't it? So,
not for you.
No, of course not. My avoid this week is going to be Ben White. He is currently the second most transferred in player because he scored against Leeds recently, but they also conceded a goal. And first and foremost, he's a fucking defender. Arsenal, although obviously we've already waxed lyrical about how good they've been this season, defensively they've not been fantastic. They have kept the second most clean sheets this year, but in recent times, conceded to Leeds, conceded to Crystal Palace, conceded to Bournemouth 4 weeks ago. There's the spattering of clean sheets in there, but they are conceding, in my opinion, too many goals for their defenders to be a good asset. So for me, I just don't see the benefit of owning him anymore. I feel there's better players you can have in defensive positions, and I think that most people are going to be playing with three defenders most of the time. So I personally think that Ben White's time to go.
Yeah, I mean, you say that they've been conceding goals, which obviously is not that inspiring for a defender, but he has had returns in past six game weeks, is that back to 25? It's got 8-5-6-7-6-7. And he's only 4.7 million. So I can see the appeal. But they do have some tough fixtures coming up. And you're right, he's not going to score or assist every week. And if they are conceding goals, then he's maybe one not to bring in. But if you already own him, I can see why you might not want to get rid. But they do have to go away to Liverpool, which I know is obviously this game week still. Oh, no, sorry, that's next game week. They got to go away to Liverpool, then away to West Ham. Southampton at home is a decent fixture, but then they got to go away to City, Chelsea at home, Newcastle away, Brighton at home. So all potential to concede in those games before they round the season out with Forest and Wolves. But yeah, I don't hate it as an avoid pick.
Yeah, they also have no more doubles. I like a lot of the teams have doubles now.
Yeah, true. This is true. So, snog my avoid for the week.
Done.
What's your plans for next week in terms of any transfers on your mind? Who are you captaining, etc.?
For me, it's probably going to be Ivan Toney for Haaland. That makes me feel a bit sick, I'm not going to lie. Yeah, it's a little bit. It's the nine yellows. It's just the longer I hold him, it's like it's a bomb waiting to happen, isn't it? I'm gonna have that. I think they've got some really nice fixtures, but it's like Isaac's playing really well. Isaac's playing Brentford in the next game, which makes it even worse because I don't want Isaac to score against us. But Newcastle are playing so well, I also don't really want to get rid of Isaac right now. So I'll see what happens in the next game because there's potential that Isaac, obviously, with Wilson scoring, does Isaac all of a sudden get dropped? But he's playing so well, I sort of doubt it.
Yeah, me too. I do think I do need to bring Haaland in. It was a bit silly to get rid of him in the first place just because I had so much value stored in him. But at the same time, you know, he's not done anything for the past couple of weeks and it's allowed me to have players that have done something. But yeah, with Toney being on those nine yellows, it is, as you say, a ticking time bomb. And with fixtures like Southampton away coming up for Haaland, it's just kind of suicide to not own him. With him, if I bring him in, then the armband might shift from Rashford to him. But Rashford does have Everton at home, which is a nice fixture. But yeah, I didn't really plan for after the double-double. And my team doesn't look that nice now. I think I might start all of the three Arsenal players that I own. Saka did come on, so I'd assume he'll be fit for next week. But even though Arsenal are going away to Liverpool, I think there is potential for them to do some damage there. So certainly Martinelli and Saka, I think I might start.
Yeah, I wouldn't see why not. Obviously, I am interested. I might go Madison to Grealish, but it's a rogue shout.
And this, Tom, is why I don't like my team being so one-dimensional, is because pretty much everyone I own is playing each other next week.
Yes.
So I've got Toney playing against Newcastle, and I've got Trippier in defence. I've got Kane playing Brighton. I've got Estupinan. Not so much them playing each other, but I've got three Arsenal players playing against Liverpool, where obviously I want Liverpool to win and do well. So it's just pure carnage. But yeah, in short, probably Haaland coming back in, either him or Rashford being captained. That's my plans for 30. And then free hitting 32 by all accounts.
Yes, sir. I think 32 makes sense. It's the obvious move. Free hit 32 and that's it. All the chips finally fucking used because I can't wait to get rid of them. So,
praise the Lord. We won't do the league because we are only halfway through 29 and there was still changes to happen. Whoever will end up as the top scorer. We will round that up next week when we review 29 and preview game week 30. But until then, hope the rest of Game Week 29 goes well for you. Not too well, because I want to do better than you all. But that is all we've got time for, Tom.
that is all we got time for. I mean, the other reason we're not doing the league is because I can barely hear you now, so we're just slowly trying to stumble our way through whatever this shit show is
and
at the
get
end.
This
so
outro done.
Yeah, yeah, as quick as possible.
Right, thanks all for listening. We will see you next week.
Bye.